Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome, everyone, for another episode of Cooking in Mexican from A to Z on Heritage Radio Network. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Sanchez, alongside my beautiful mother,
Sarela Martinez.
And today we are beyond excited. We have a guest here that is someone that I've met recently, I want to say 2 years ago, through a mutual friend and unbelievable chef and pioneer, Benito Molina and Solange in Baja California. We went and did a dinner at Manzanilla. And it was just this wonderful moment of just sharing great food and stories and getting to know new friends and making long-lasting relationships. And one of these gentlemen that I met who did a fantastic course, by the way, is Carlos Leal, who we have visiting with us today. And just a little bit of Carlos, information on him, if you don't know. He hails from Monterrey, Mexico. He is the creator and culinary director of companies in Mexico, incluyendo Compañía de Sales, which is a wonderful flavored salt sort of company that he's done, Border and Sons, Loyal and Febre, Destilados de Agave, and Dodo el Vino. So there's many different things that he's done. But, you know, all of his culinary interests has led Carlos to participate in MasterChef Mexico in 2018, where he was able to sort of share his passion with food with a very large audience. And since that, he's parlayed that into doing many different talks and representing brands. And he's done a TED Talk and done really cool stuff. So he's here. And he's sort of this jack of all trades. He knows a lot about, obviously, grilling and all that beautiful cabrito from Monterrey. But what we're going to be focusing on today, which is a really interesting topic, is working with insects and saving the world. We're very excited to have you here, Carlos.
Oh, thank you so much, Aaron. Sarela, pleasure to meet you. And I feel very honored for the introduction. So I'm your man. Let's talk about what we did love the most, food. And in this case, insects.
I wanted to kind of start on your salt thing, because salt is a huge thing here in New York, you know. And are you working with salts from Mexico?
Yes, actually, I have a small project that it is almost 10 years from which I started. And we are using, of course, sea salt from Mexico, but I wanted to share the different flavors of the Mexican cuisine using salt as a vehicle of transport. That's why my first collection was, and it is focused on pre-Hispanic heritage, and in this case, insects, using gusano de maguey, chapulín, and hormiga chicatán.
That's good.
Those were the first flavors.
Yeah, so basically you've taken the idea of all these beautiful insects, which is a huge source of protein, which is right now, como agarrado vuelo in the United States, is where it's the substitute for proteins, right? And I think let's start with that, because right now, everybody that's doing substitute protein, insects is where it's at. So let's talk a little bit about how we use insects in Mexican cuisine. I think that would be perfect.
Yes, excellent. We've been using insects since 2,000 years ago or most, because those were the one of the most available ingredients protein, and many people think that it is something new, that it is a trend, but not. When the Aztecs were here in this big empire before the Spaniards, the ants, the grasshoppers, humiles, aguautle, gusano de maguey, gusano blanco were part of the regular diet. But the most important thing that those insects were dedicated to the priest and all the kings and the monarchy. So, but then it changed, and we are still eating those. But right now, it is a very important moment in which we need to see to the future, because we are growing as a human species, and we will need another alternatives of protein, and we are looking to use insects. Yeah. But as you know, it is very hard for a lot of people to think instead of beef or chicken to use crickets, chapulines, but we need to look forward, because in 2050 we will need to do something very different than the way that we are doing right now.
I agree.
Well, they say, Aaron was telling us last time that we spoke about insects, we have a friend named Dr. Bug.
Oh, yes, of course.
Anyway, so he was saying that a lot of the vegan flowers and a lot of the vegan products have insects in them.
Ah, yes, of course. We eat a lot of pounds per year, according to some studies.
Yes.
In the flowers, in a lot of different things. So we are used to, and we do not need to panic about eating insects, but it is a working process that the cooks need to push, that are pushing right now, to be open for different kind of food. For example, a couple of decades ago, yeah, the sushi was kind of a taboo. I am talking in the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
But it started what some people call sushification,
mm-hmm,
in which they started to say, okay, eating raw fish is healthy, is good. So it started very slowly, but now you can see everywhere in the West, in El Occidente, eating raw fish.
With plenty of Maggi sauce.
With plenty of Maggi sauce, exactly. So I think, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that's a very good point, Carlos. We're talking about the idea of popularity with certain food trends, especially in Mexico, starting to have a presence and an understanding, right? So now we're talking about the popularity of insects. So let's classify, okay, the most popular ones, and okay, then we can go to some of the more obscure ones, okay? I think everybody understands that the cricket, right, the champolines, is probably the most recognizable insect.
Of course.
And then the worms, the maguey worms, would probably be the second one, if as far as, you know, you see the worm inside the bottle of mezcal, but then that's dried out and made of salt. What are some of the other ones? The ants, the hormigas. We have escamoles.
Humiles.
You know, I've been to humiles. So let's talk a little bit about what those are, guys, so we can have some clarity here.
Okay, of course. As you just said, the most common ones are crickets, what we call chapulines, also the maguey worm, which is not a worm, it's a larvae. Es una larva. We, of course, have hormiga chicatana. And the most obscure ones, as we can say, or less popular or harder to find, are the aguautle,
which is
an egg of a kind of a fly that lives in Xochimilco, Lago de Texcoco, in Estado de México. Yes, very, very small.
And I had
where?
That.
In Mercado San Juan in Mexico or where?
No, I had it at Fonda Don Chon in Mexico, in Mexico City. Did you have it there, Mom, too? Or no?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, they make these cakes with it. So it's actually fly eggs, right?
A variety.
What's it called again, Carlos? A variety fly. What is it called again?
Aguautle.
Aguautle.
It is also called like a Mexican caviar, but not as flavorful and popular as escamoles, which the escamoles are eggs from ants.
Ant larva.
I flunked Top Chef because I wouldn't eat the escamoles.
The escamoles?
Because, there's something, how that sweetbreads have that thing that sticks to your palate? Well, escamoles do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Escamoles is... I believe that it is among my favorite dishes. It is so complex. It is buttery. And I love the preparation. The preparation is usually very simple. It is cooked with a little bit of butter, but they put epazote. So there is always a connection between escamoles and epazote. At the end of the day, there is always connection between what we have in our surroundings in the Mexican gastronomy. So it is beautiful.
This week on Heritage Radio Network's Meet and Three, we're spilling secrets.
Do you know what is in that makes it banned?
I do not, other than it being a proprietary blend of something that's supposed to be performance enhancing.
If you go through the drive-through in reverse, so your car is fully backwards, you get a free chocolate shake.
Tune in to Meet and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Mom, what were some of your earliest encounters with insects? I mean, I know you grew up in the north, but did they have something in the north, Mom?
Absolutely. We have the acorn worms.
The acorn worms? Okay. And how were they prepared?
Well, they weren't prepared. You just squeeze them when you were cutting up and open an acorn. And most of the time you would just eat them raw because you were cutting open an acorn and then would come out the worm and then you just eat it. But they weren't prepared as a dish, so that's one thing. But there were other things.
How about alacranes? Are we considering a scorpion an insect? Because I mean, I've eaten scorpion, right, Mom? They're good on the barbecue.
Well, it's one of those things that if you have them at the restaurant, everybody's gonna want to try.
Yeah, totally.
No, and Daron and Sarela, I believe that the alacrán, it is like a marketing gimmick. It is usually in Durango area, but what I have tasted that it does not have a concentrated flavor, like umami, just like the agave worm, which I believe it's beautiful, the flavor of the agave worm, very complex and interesting. It doesn't have a lot of flavor, but I've been eating bugs for more than 20 years, but having contact with bugs because my parents are biologists.
Wow.
So I have I always love to collect insects and, but then I love a lot to cook, so I was focusing on finding insects to eat.
Now, have you seen this happen in Mexico where there's restaurants that are starting to have more of a focus on insects? We know about the pre-Hispanic restaurant like Fonda Don Chon that's been around forever in the Ciudad de Mexico. But this idea is the younger generation gravitating towards eating insects.
I think that practically all the restaurants in Mexico City have at least one bug thing, popular restaurant.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yes, of course. I, actually, it is a very important trend, as I said before, in the using the insects as part of fine dining. For example, in Puyol, the restaurant of Enrique Olvera, he's been using insects for a long time, and right now he has like a smaller elote with a chicatana mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. And you also, for example, another 50 best restaurant, Quintonil, from Jorge Vallejo, he uses a lot of insects. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, for example, there is a very important and renowned restaurant of a friend of mine in Puebla, which is very famous, Mural de los Poblanos. It has a festival of insects.
Wow!
So there is a complete menu.
Oh, wow!
Having different kind of insects. And it is very, very interesting.
On my last trip to Oaxaca, Ricardo Diaz was serving this amazing tostadas with all sorts of insects.
Yes, in which restaurant?
Casa Oaxaca.
Oh, no, at Casa Oaxaca, mami.
They had this amazing tostadas.
Sí, con Alejandro Ruiz. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I believe that the insects,
orale,
besides having a lot of protein, and be very easy to have a big quantity of insects, it has a lot of flavors and give a lot of texture in the different plates as tostadas, for example. And Alejandro Ruiz, Manolo from Pitiona, Rolfo Castellanos are also in Oaxaca, very, very important chefs, as you guys know. And they always have different plates using insects. But the beautiful thing of this is that you don't need to go to fine dining restaurants or very important. You can find insects in different mercados all over Mexico, in Veracruz, in Chiapas, in Tabasco, in Hidalgo, Querétaro, Puebla, in the tropical areas is where you find the most different varieties. As, for example, the most rare ones are like the humiles, which are called like chinches. They are very, very small insects. And when I try them, it remind me of, it has like a mint flavor, like zacate or something like that, very herbal.
Yeah. I think it's important to mention that you shouldn't go get to consume insects. You shouldn't go to your local pet store. Right? Like you want to go to a people that specialize in farming these particular insects. I think that's worth mentioning, no, Mom?
One of the things that, I mean, you probably know, but I'll ask you again. Yeah. One of the words that I learned last year that I absolutely love is the smell of rain falling on the soil. Do you know the word for that? In Spanish.
Olor a tierra mojada.
In Spanish?
No, la palabra es petricor.
¿Cuál?
P-E-T-R-I-C-O-R.
Petricor?
It's a beautiful word because that brings me back to the ranch and everything. There's nothing like the smell of rain.
I also believe that, and even though that we are now in year 2022, we can never forget that we are part of a system, of an ecosystem, and that we are connected with the earth, with the soil, with the insects, with the plants. And gastronomy needs to be like oriented in that way. That's why we find in the different recipes connection between the chiles or with different herbs, la milpa, of course,
the milpa,
or the mushroom, different kind of mushrooms. So there is always a connection of what we have, and we need to be firm that we are part of that ecosystem, and we need to protect it, and we need to see the insects, the bugs, not as our enemy, but as our friend. This can be a, yes, this can be an answer.
That's why you need alvejas. That's why you need bees. All of these, you know, if the world doesn't have bees, we're in big trouble, you know? And it's such a simple thing because all the bees, they inseminate, you know, they inseminate and they allow nature to flourish. And I think it's really important. Insects need to be valued more.
What cuisines are using insects more? What regions?
Well, Thailand. Thailand and Southeast Asia use insects incredibly
much. Malaysia, Indonesia, China.
Yeah.
There is like a belt. If you see the world as a whole, the planet, there is a belt that you can see in the hotter areas in which it is very common to have insects as part of our of the diet. And we need to think that for like more than a quarter of people eating insects as part of their diet, it is not taboo. So it has been for all the eternity, it's part of ourselves. That is why I wanted to create this project, Compañía de Sales, because it is a very humble and small project. But I believe that for the new generations, we need to start like creating conscience of eating insects. And for example, in the beginning of the project, like 10 years ago, when I talk about this to my family, even my parents or my friends, they say, how you are crazy? How, why are you going to make a salt with Chicatana's ant? And I wanted, well, this is the first step to have the insects as part of our diet. And now I can see the young generations, like when they know that I am the creator of Compañía Sales, oh, I love a lot your salt with Chicatana. And there's people like 16, 70 years old that, okay, my favorite is the grasshopper. So.
Do you find that bartenders are using your salts and cocktails and also as another way?
Yes, of course. I started this project focusing for the mezcal, for mezcal to sip it and taste it with oranges. But I when I created this project, I, for example, in the Sal de Gusano, I wanted to include the best ingredients and a lot of percentage so people can taste the real flavor of gusano. But I connected, for example, with hoja santa. As you know, hoja santa or hierba santa is a very emblematic plant, aromatic herb from Oaxaca. So,
Veracruz.
Veracruz, Oaxaca.
It's called acuyo.
Many parts.
Yeah, acuyo. Or was it chaya too, mommy? Or chaya is the wild spinach?
No.
No, chaya is from Yucatan.
Yeah, andale.
It's a different thing. No, but you know that I always mention this, so bear with me. There's a fish growing company in Panama that only feeds the fish hoja santa.
Whoa. Yes, that reminds us that we need to see all the world as a whole, because the plants, the insects, there are almost the same in Mesoamerica, in Latin America. For example, the Chicatana, you can find them in Amazonas, in Brazil, or in Colombia, in Central America. For example, there is a restaurant, a very famous restaurant that it is called El Chato in Colombia. And they came here to make a presentation of their food. And one of the plates was beef with a salsa with hormiga culona. They call it that way because it has a big ass and it is exactly the same as Chicatana. So we are more connected than we no. So we can never forget that.
I love
so
it.
So besides chocolate ants, are there any desserts that you make with insects?
Yes. Well, Chicatana, actually the salt that I have is Chicatana with cardamom. It is
cardamomo.
Yeah.
Yes, with cardamomo. It is not endemic from Mexico, but now there is a lot of, I believe it's the number two or three in production in Chiapas. And I love to use that salt a little bit in ice creams or in different kind of desserts.
Yeah.
And for example, if you go to Sao Paulo, you can see, different restaurants that are having desserts with insects. Chicatana reminds me of coffee, chocolate, like chocolate, oaxaqueño, those flavors.
Urine.
I have never tasted urine, thanks God. but
you know?
You haven't been thirsty enough.
Yes. Actually, there is a friend. I have a friend of mine which is sommelier, and he lived a lot of time in France. And then when he came back, we were drinking biodynamic wines from south of France. And he was giving like the description, no? La cata. Okay, this wine is cat piss. And I say, man, find another adjective, please. People are going to be very, very afraid. Oh, I love this wine because it smells like cat piss. But maybe we can say it has some animal accents in the
flavor.
So. Animal flavor. It reminds me like animal. But
so
what is your most exciting new project?
This is an opportunity for you, Carlos, to tell all of our listeners what you're doing, all the new projects, et cetera, et cetera.
As I have told you, I have been in love with Oaxaca, even though that I live in Monterrey, up in the north of Mexico. And I have a very humble project that I am started. I am starting, which I am producing, licor de café de olla. With mezcal based. So it is very beautiful because I am working with different communities there. And at the end of the day, it is always the flavors, the aroma that I love the most, so I can share to the different people.
So how do you make it though?
It is very simple. The alcoholic base is mezcal, but for the guys that are listening to us, Café de Olla is made, of course, with very, very good café, with piloncillo, vanilla, cinnamon, and a little bit of citrus. And when I think of Café de Olla, I remember my grandmother preparing the café de olla with the coal in el rancho, and those are the connections that I love the most. That's why I am always working in different projects, focusing on what I love the most since I was a kid. For example, cool. The insects, and all the flavors that connects me with my parents, with my
Mexico.
Grandmother, with Mexico, because it is what we really have as Mexicans, the flavors. And if you ask any Mexican what it is your first memories, your memory that you love the most, it is always connected with the kitchen, with the food, with the cuisine, with the mother, with the grandmother. And every time that I have the opportunity, I spoke about them because it is what we love.
So, Carlos, we have this unbelievable connection with our mutual friend Benito Molina, and you went through this process of MasterChef and doing all of this. I think what you're doing right now with your companies, I think, is really special. So we talked about the Compañía de Sales. You're going to start doing these, this sort of liqueur de café de olla. That's wonderful stuff. How can people engage with you, Carlos, so they can have a conversation and say, you know, I'm interested. I want to come visit Monterrey, for instance. Do you want to do a culinary tour? Do you want to have people come and visit with you? And
mi casa es su casa. It is a saying that we always say that it is the first things that that we are thought in the family. And of course, I am always open to make new friends. And the food and the beverage has always connected me to beautiful, amazing people. So you guys and your friends are my friends. we are here. Come visit Mexico, try our food. And if you guys want to connect with me, well, you can connect me with my social media, Señor Sapiens, or Compañía de Sales. I always answer those beautiful messages from people all over the world.
Wonderful.
It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Continued success, Carlos Leal. Again, we've been talking here about eating bugs and saving the world on Heritage Radio Network here, cooking in Mexican from A to Z. We've had a fantastic guest in Carlos Leal, a friend, amigo, a real pioneer, and launching these flavored salts. He's in Monterrey, Mexico. Please seek him out. Look for information on Heritage Radio Network. Go on my mom's website, satellite.com. Everyone that's been listening, we really appreciate you guys. And again, we've also done another episode with Bugs. So if you guys want to come back and have a little revisit, please look out for one of our episodes called Eat Your Bugs. It was episode 14 with our good friend, Dr. Bugs, Mark Moffitt. If you want more, please.
It was hysterical. You want to laugh?
You will laugh and have a great time. Look for more information on Heritage Radio Network, cooking in Mexico from A to Z.
Hello.
Cooking in Mexican from A to Z is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.